Hey, welcome to the show. On today's episode, we have Mare. She is a songwriter currently based out of Nashville. She's a mandolin player, guitar player, piano player, fiddle player, multi-instrumentalist, Jill of all trades, master of all. Check it out.
If you're listening on Spotify or any other audio platform, you're going to want to make sure you head over to our YouTube channel at Rusick Podcast. There you can watch the podcast, and we also have live performances featuring all the guests that we have on here, so check it out.
Don't forget to subscribe. But you know what? That's kind of nice, though. I like that each one of these is getting, I don't know about better, but they're getting different.
They're getting somewhere.
They're
going.
Yeah, exactly. Learning.
They're on
just
their way.
Very slowly.
Yeah, very, very slowly.
How many people have you had on so far?
I think you're number 7.
I think so. Yeah.
That's my number.
Oh, there we go. See, this works out great.
So
then.
It's 7. Great.
There you
perfect.
Go. I love
okay,
it. I love
cool.
it. Yeah, you're either
it was,
7
it
or 8.
Was
I think.
Fate.
Yeah. We're going to say 7, but
we're gonna say 7.
It could be 8. We'll find out.
8 is 7. Also a good number for me. That's my business number.
Oh, wow.
It's
okay.
My get shit done
I feel
number.
Like we could pick any number, and you'd be like, that's my number.
I'm good
that's
with
perfect.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's hilarious because I had no idea until we were talking that not only were you homeschooled your
yes.
entire life, like I was, but also your... Both your parents went to the Naval Academy?
Yeah.
Okay. Both. Just my dad went, so my mom's a pussy. But
no, I'm always trying to explain to people, like, I don't know if you realize how difficult it was to get into the Navy in the 80s. And then also my mom was one of the first women. She was, like, in the second year
That's
that
wild.
They even allowed women in. Mm. So it was, like, 12 dudes to one woman. And she said it was just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of problems with that. But what it naturally did was you had to be, like, the smartest, most capable, mm-hmm. physically able person. And so I'm like, wow, you just had this whole sorting system on accident to where anyone you would have met and vibed with was, like, the cream of the crop. Not to say anything bad about everyone else, but to say that, like,
no,
they
true,
really got some
crazy.
Things right that they didn't even plan on getting right
yeah.
because they were both in this system. And so then they went and did everything the total opposite. And, here we all are.
There you go. See, so it all works out.
So I do this now.
Wait, so, okay. So your whole, well, you were homeschooled your whole life then?
My whole life.
Same.
Yeah. I'm still homeschooled.
The first time I ever stepped into an actual class, which is funny because now my day job is I'm a middle school music teacher. Like that's what I do, which is
bizarre.
Do you
like it?
I do. I like it a lot. It's one of those things where, I was talking about this when we had Rye on. I've got to the point in life where I've kind of realized that I need to work for myself. Like that's when I'm
yes.
happiest. That being said, as far as working for other people goes, fantastic. Like the faculty's great. The kids are great.
Cool.
I work for a private school that for kids with learning disabilities.
Oh wow. Okay.
And so it's a lot of work. It's
yeah.
But it's great.
It's probably fulfilling.
Yeah,
too.
And no,
yeah.
It really genuinely is. And for years prior to working there, I just started working at this school recently. But prior to doing that, I was I worked for like an after school music program out here.
Okay,
I directed that for years. Anyway, but the first time I ever stepped foot in a classroom in my entire life, other than taking like tests, maybe which you know were few and far between,
yeah.
like maybe, not that I remember any.
Same.
The first time I ever stepped foot inside a classroom was in college.
Okay.
Which was
wow.
very strange because that was just something
oh,
I was not.
Weird.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Brian, yeah, when you met me, okay, this is how long.
This
is
first time in a classroom.
This is how
dude,
long.
That's wild.
This is how long
You're
Brian
like, no
and I have known each other.
That
Brian,
explains
when you
things.
Met
yeah,
me,
it really explains a lot.
When Brian, yeah, when Brian met me, well, this is crazy to say because we've known each other this long now. When you met me, Brian, I had never been inside of a classroom before.
Damn,
isn't that weird?
That's wild.
He's like, it shows.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
So, did you go to school? Were you?
Brian lived on the streets.
I was
he was like a feral dog.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, I went to school. I was
yeah.
in a classroom long before college.
Like a normal child, yeah.
I think I went into one the first time, I was probably 16, and we played a show for
okay.
the school kids. And it felt so weird because I was like,
yeah.
we're only here because we don't go to school. And
oh, yeah.
now you guys are watching us. Like, we're on display
like
for you.
Like the freak shows.
Yeah. But it was just like a music thing. I don't know what the event was. But no, for us growing up, it was always like, oh, the public schoolers.
Yeah.
Because the way we were really conservative and like I wore skirts until I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly like it was a fight with my mom kind of about modesty and everything. So whenever we'd go out, all of the regular people thought we were Amish.
There you go. That's not a bad group to be in with.
It wasn't necessarily, but there were some things. But whenever we'd show up to like the town's old time picnic, it was the old settlers picnic in Sheldon, Missouri. And we would
Everyone's
always just
the shout outs today.
We would just sweep house. I mean, we would like just rip on every category. We'd get the blue ribbon, and all of the other kids, like once we grew up, I became friends with some of them, and they were like, we were always so bummed because we were like, oh shit, the Amish are here. We're not going to win anything.
That's like you're like the Red Sox. That's the Yankees showing up. Like, okay, things are going to get real. Let's go.
Yeah, it was.
Because like for me intense. Growing up, my mom was a school teacher as a kid.
Okay.
And then
a public school teacher.
So she taught at a few different places. My dad got into the Marine Corps after the Naval Academy. Like that's what he went there to do. And so we moved around a ton as a kid.
Yeah. Every 2 years or so.
Yeah,
did you guys move more?
Yeah. We got out to California when I was 12.
Okay.
And that was the 11th house I'd lived in.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, when we got out there, my whole life, though, point being that my whole life, my parents were just like, okay, well, I guess we're just going to homeschool. Cause it was kind of easier than having to like, so for us, there wasn't any of, people do that for all kinds of different reasons.
Yeah.
For us, it was just
practical.
Yeah. It was just pragmatic. It was like, okay, we're not going to be switching schools every 9 months. You know what I mean? And plus I'm one of four. So okay. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah. I have so many.
You have a lot of siblings.
Yeah. Okay. I'm number 6 of 10.
There you go.
But I'm the first girl. So like 5 boys and me, then 2 boys. And I finally got 2 baby sisters.
Oh, there you go.
And it really, you know, I'm just so excited.
Sweet spot. You got the sweet spot. That's a good place in the lineup to be.
Yeah.
That's
the middle
cleanup.
Kids.
That's what you
are. Just the middle kids. You know, but no, I was the oldest of the second half of kids, and my mom, it's all my mom and dad, and we're all about 2 years apart, but she used to mess with people, and people would be like, oh, are these all your kids? And she'd be like, well, I mean, Paul, which is my dad's name, she's like, Paul had the first 5 with his first wife, and then the second 5 with me. And people would go around later and they'd be like, your dad was married before? Like, they're your husband? What? And I'd be like, oh, mom said that thing again, didn't she? That's like, funny. It's the same mom. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I got oldest, which,
okay,
you know, it's like, there's pros and cons like anything. But
of
I feel
course,
like
yeah.
I feel like oldest, like, at this point, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
at this point, you still don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You better just get used and to
the
it.
Thing, the thing that's hilarious, so my sister, she lives out here. She goes to school out here. She's the baby. So it's me, my 2 brothers, and my sister.
Okay.
So she's finishing up school out here. She's in her last year out here. So it's been really nice because I haven't lived with one of my siblings in a while. So it's been cool to kind of have her in the same town. But it is funny because we'll hang out and I think, oh yeah, the dynamic. My parents, again, I have nothing bad to say whatsoever. My parents knocked it out of the park. But I think, oh yeah, the dynamics were different in the house when you were 10 than like when I was.
Right. Yeah. Well, and even
definitely some things changed.
Well, even the environment that like she would have going home is, it's not that there's like 3 other younger kids there. Whereas when you were moving out of the house, and that's something that's interesting now, where like my little sister just turned 18, my youngest sister. And when I was 18, there was still 4 kids at home. Every time I'd like get off the road from a gig, I'd go home and we'd all sit around the table and like hash out what happened. And I'd be like, okay, I want to talk to just mom now. Like, you guys got to scram.
Yeah.
No, they'd be like, Mary's being mean.
It's so funny you say that. Cause it's something I've never realized, but it's very, very difficult for me to think of any times in my life since my brother was born that I've had just me and my parents, because whenever I go back, which I love, I adore my siblings. So that's funny though. I've never really thought about that. Like I did
that alone time.
Yeah. My dad came out to visit couple months ago, maybe a month or two ago, which is really nice. Cause it was just him, which it's never gets to be just us. And that was not awkward, because it's never awkward with him, but it was just funny. I was like, oh, this dynamic never occurs. It's always, that's nice.
Yeah, no, I think I've spent alone time with both of my parents now as an adult, like twice. I mean, like where we were both in the same place, just the two of us, not just like, oh yeah, everyone else went to bed and I get you for an hour or two. Mm-hmm. But
you spent the last 10, 12 years out in Nashville, right? So it's been a while since you've been out here.
Right. So whenever we first moved out here, like some of my brothers and I had a bluegrass band for like 6 years from the time I was 12 until I was 18. And my dad was kind of like, well, we got to move these kids closer to where there's other people doing the same thing as them. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the people that we grew up with actually were like ex-Amish or ex-Mennonite. Mm-hmm. And so they were kind of like getting married at 18 and like starting to have a bunch of kids. And it's not that, I mean, like some of my siblings have kind of gone that route, but for me, like, I mean, I will say I kind of tried it. That's a whole story. We'll get
it's,
there.
It's like anything. You gotta give it a crack, you know?
Gotta it's give like, it the old like, Christian
it's
try.
It's like cocaine. No knock to try it. You know? Like, I've given up that life, but like, come on.
I've never done cocaine.
You're not missing much, let's be honest.
I just feel like I really appreciate my nose hairs and what they have to offer my life.
Brian has this thing where Brian thinks cocaine is the most overrated of all the drugs, and I wholeartedly disagree.
You disagree.
Been a long time, but
how many drugs have you done, though?
Yeah, that's true. What kinds of drugs have you done?
This is about you right now, okay? This is about you.
Well, I'm trying to gauge, you know.
Perfect.
Like,
okay.
I'm drug free now, but just like bang for your buck. Like cocaine's bottom of the list. Like there's so much more fun you can have for less money.
You're talking to like 2 85-year-old men at this point. Like all Brian and I do at this point in life is just golf and smoke cigars. So.
Man.
Well, he golfs and I smoke the cigars. So.
There you go. I just started smoking cigarettes. Well, okay, I got one pack of Virginia Slims in Richmond. Because I'd been thinking about smoking for like 8 years. I was like, you know what?
Who thinks about smoking? He's like, I think I'm going to take up a new hobby.
Well, I had been thinking about it for 8 years. So that's a while to think about. And I was like, you know, I want to try it. And like, I have stories of my great grandpa, Bob Coleman. And like, he used
great
to smoke.
Great name, by the way.
Right?
Bob Coleman.
Right.
Fantastic.
Robert Coleman, but Bob Coleman. And there's a road after him, named after him in Southwest Louisiana, where my mom grew up. Anyway, he smoked and it was terrible. And my great grandma used to take away his cigarette money. She'd be like, no, you're done smoking and
that
drinking.
That was like his punishment. It was like, you don't
like,
get to smoke
you're not
anymore.
Driving. You know, she'd take it away. And Bob was like this giant man. I never got to meet him, but I did know my great grandma. And we called her Geggy because my mom couldn't say like grandma when she was little. So Geggy, Iris Coleman, she was just amazing.
I was
going to
ask your grandfather.
Woman.
Gave her that name, but I...
Yeah, right. It's just like, no. But yeah, so she's cool and she would give him shit about it. Anyway, I had like these romanticized ideas about smoking and was like, you know what? I'm going to go for this. We were on tour. I got this little pack of Virginia Slims and I actually had them like in my pocket. I still have one more to smoke. I might just frame it. I might just frame the whole thing. Well, because
you're
that's
one and
what...
done, one pack and done. Is that it?
Well, no, I've gotten smokes from other people now, but I haven't bought another pack of cigarettes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I stopped smoking probably 5 years ago now.
Okay.
4.5 years ago. And when I say stop smoking, that just means I haven't bought a pack of cigarettes now.
Right.
Long.
If you get someone, it doesn't count.
That's really why I love hanging out with most of my friends out here.
It doesn't count.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're not doing it.
Exactly. That's why I'm friends with most of my musician friends out here is because they all smoke.
Not because like, they're musicians or
no,
you like them.
No. Exactly. I'm like,
see, I have a theory about drinking. If somebody is like an alcoholic and if they want to drink with somebody, they don't care who you are. They just want someone to drink with them.
As someone who doesn't drink anymore, I can see a little bit of... No, that's not true. I think that depends on the severity of the person. Like for me, I like drinking, hence why I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
But to me, I always...
It mattered to you who you were drinking with?
My thing is I could drink if I got to be careful how I say this. I would happily just drink by myself.
Okay. In a bad way?
Yeah. I would just drink by myself.
Yeah.
I didn't need someone else. Someone else is going to weigh me down in that situation.
Right.
But
sure.
If I can get Brian to hang out with me and have a few beers, fuck yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And it's fun. So
yeah.
It wasn't just like you wanted any drinking buddy at the bar.
No, I'd rather just sit at the bar by myself.
I would just sit at the bar myself. Okay. Well, that's different. I felt like, I mean, I spent some time in Montana, like over a winter working at this resort out there.
Which part of Montana?
Outside Missoula.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really, really cold.
Yeah.
But at this resort, like the kids around there, I don't know. I just felt like people just drank a lot and they would get like fake IDs at such an early age. And I was like, who does, like, what else
like
do you want to do?
That part of the country, like people are
There's not much else to do for, like, yeah.
For 6 months out of the year.
I have family in like Wisconsin and
yeah, they like, drink a lot.
They're just going hard every day. I've visited a few times for the holidays and they can drink. My theory is that just like when it's winter and it's like 0 degrees outside, right. What else do you have to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't blame. Keeps you warm. Yeah.
I'm like, just go to bed, eat some soup and go to bed.
Exactly. Eat some soup, just put on some Food Network and just like get cozy and
there you
go to bed.
Read a book.
Exactly.
Write a poem, you know?
Actually do
crochet
anything
something.
Other than that. Yeah. But that being said, I do love getting drunk.
I just love to get drunk. I don't actually enjoy it that much. Like, I mean, there one or two drinks is fun sometimes if you haven't really eaten anything. But like, I'm not. I don't promote like alcohol.
Yeah,
use,
I say that.
Really.
I say that jokingly because, in all seriousness, I don't. I stopped drinking 4 years ago now.
Yeah,
I don't ever think about it.
I think you said 5 years ago. Just
no,
a
that was cigarettes.
Ago.
That was cigarettes. Oh, okay. That was cigarettes.
Okay, trying to get my facts straight.
but it's funny. I've told this to Brian too. I don't ever think of drinking really. So I think of smoking every day. I'm like, God damn,
really?
I want a cigarette. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, every day.
I don't smoke anymore. I do these things now.
Yeah.
But even still having nicotine, I still miss smoking.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's something about just holding it.
Yeah.
You know,
plus you look cool.
My favorite thing about it too.
It's cool.
My favorite thing about it is like you're out with a group of people doing a bunch of things and then you're like, "Oh, I'm going to go have a smoke."
Right.
And it's that little break from the situation that you get. You get to step outside by yourself for a second.
Yep.
You get a little break. That's like
reset.
What I'm for
it's
sure.
Like,
that's
so
what I miss the most.
When we lived in Boston, we would hang out at one of our apartments. And Brian's totally right. The thing that's nice, I would always want to smoke inside your apartment, Brian. You'd be like, "We're not smoking inside the apartment. Let's go outside." And I would always be pissed off because like I'd be drinking and I would just want to smoke. But then we'd go outside and I think, this is so lovely.
Yeah,
I love that we have a little moment of this.
Right. For me, the fact that you have to go outside is the thing I like because you just like...
Well, why don't we take mandatory like outside breaks anyway, even if we're not smoking or doing something that's bad for you?
Or,
but then
we
it's
just,
like
we
weird.
Just,
you're just like, "Oh, I'm just going to go stand outside by myself for a second."
Thing.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Or
that's
we
the most
just
human
stop
thing
this
ever.
Podcast.
Okay.
We go buy a pack of Marlboro Reds. We just hang out back row.
You guys want to go smoke? I'm down. Like
there
after
go.
This, let's
after
go.
This, yeah, perfect. After this, we got to celebrate somehow. We're going to go get a pack of cigarettes. We're going to make that happen.
I mean,
as long as someone else buys, as long as I'll give you cash, but as long as one of you guys buys it, I'm okay. I'm in the clear.
He's buying it.
I'll take the fall.
There we go. Perfect. Yeah. So, were either of your parents musical? Because you played from such a young age. How did that occur? Because in my household, there was always music in the house.
Yeah.
But neither of my parents were musical at all.
Okay.
Which is weird because me and all my siblings are all. All
were
their
parents like any of your
no,
grandparents?
Not at all.
Really?
No one in my family was really. No one that I can think of was musical.
Yeah. So my mom's dad, like my mom's dad and his dad, so granddad Lloyd, he was a professional jazz drummer in New Orleans, and then his dad was also a drummer and like a honky tonk piano player. So we had that. I mean, that's so in my blood to like be able to. Throw down a little bit, but also this love for jazz and just the rhythm and all of that. So he could play anything, and Granddad Lloyd and then my granny Eileen, they both were music majors, and that's how they met, like in school. So music was always in our life, but my parents didn't, like they weren't like traveling musicians or anything growing up. My mom could pick out a melody on any instrument, but she never like... I mean, she was in band in high school. Like, my granddad was the teacher and everything. But, yeah, my dad had a guitar, and he played a few chords, and they both could carry a tune. And whenever we were little, we listened to classical music and choir music, and that was it. And I think, like, maybe part of it was just because it was soothing, and then the other part of it, I think mom was like, "There's enough noise going on. Like, we can't have drums and like loud music in here." At least that's what I like to say now. But we didn't listen to music with drums until I was like 11 or 12. It was kind of forbidden.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I couldn't play saxophone. It was too sexy. Yeah. I know. She's like, drums are bad.
See,
that way
you're not. Started playing music, my dad was a drummer, so that was the first thing.
Yeah, he still is a drummer.
And
darn good drummer.
Yeah, and I feel bad for my mom having to
Put up with the noise.
Listen to me learn drums when
I was
like,
that's the
10
thing.
Years old.
She had a husband and a son that were going to be on the drum kit, so that's
No, I think I would have to have like a soundproof room, like if I had kids that were learning music.
That's what
my mom actually did end up soundproofing one of the rooms at her house.
There you go.
After
years of suffering.
She probably went through like a year of it and was like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. No, she's like, I love you enough to not get angry about you for the noises you're making. She's like, I'm going to put you over here. Well, my brother, actually, he's got two little kids. And it was the funniest thing. He's like, we just don't put rosin on the bows for the little fiddle so that when they're just, you know, letting it rip, it's just like...
There's a lot of life tips coming out this episode that I was not anticipating.
You have to still keep your own sanity while encouraging creative behaviors. But
that's true. It's a good way to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you still have to give them an avenue to like learn.
Yeah.
But by the time, I mean, when I was three, like we started, my brothers were all taking lessons on brass, and then one of my brothers was taking violin lessons, and so
like brass is worse than drums. Dude, as a middle school teacher, brass is worse than drums.
My brother played trumpet in high school.
It's so loud.
Love my brother, but he was not the best drum player, and I would get so fucking annoyed. Like, it would drive me insane.
Okay, this is a complete... we're going to come back to what you're saying. This is a complete side tangent here. So, one of the classes I teach at the school is just band class, obviously.
Yeah.
And for one of the band classes, I think it's like sixth grade, there's this one kid in there who plays trumpet who is... Oh, my God.
Is he going to watch this? Is he going to know?
Oh, he better. I'm shouting you out. No. Not only is he just not there with the trumpet to be, you know,
that's
a nice way of saying it.
You're just not there with it.
But he will actively make noises just to annoy everyone in class. And it's gotten to the point where it's like him and like 10 other kids in this class, and he'll walk into the class and they'll like boo him. He'll be like, dude, get out of class. And they're like, you know, they're like 10 years old.
Yeah,
And I've asked him, cause I'm like, dude, you got to stop with making all the noise. Like, please, we're trying to be productive. And I'll take him aside and tell him this. And he's like, I'm doing this just to annoy them. Like, this is not like a tick thing. This is like, I'm doing this just purposely to get under their skin. I'm like, okay, that's not really what your teacher wants to hear right now, but.
No, that's awful.
So when they start booing him and throwing stuff at him, I can't really get angry. I'm like, you know what, guys, it's fine.
You're like, you knew this was coming.
Yeah, you knew this was happening. Anyway, sorry. That was a complete aside.
Yeah. No, we all were taking like classical lessons, and I do think, I mean, if you're playing like beautiful classical music to your children, like when they're literally in the womb, that matters. And so when I was 4 years old when I first started taking piano lessons, maybe three, yeah, or four. But by that time, like when I was three, I was taking cello lessons with my mom, and I would come home from the lesson, go to the piano and pick out the melody and the chords, and I would learn my cello lesson on piano.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And no one taught me how to do that. I just knew how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so once I grew up, like I was probably like 12 or so, and some of the neighbor kids were like, well, teach us how to play piano. And I was like, cool, can you like hum a melody in your head and then find it on the piano? Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, I can hum this melody. I was like, okay, now can you match those notes? Because I had no idea how to teach them what I didn't know. Like, I was like, I don't know how I learned this. I just know how to do this. And they would come back, and every week I would teach them the same thing. And I was like, I hate teaching. I can never teach again, because they couldn't do that ear thing that I could. And I still don't know how to explain it.
Do you have perfect pitch?
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny.
Which is like, I mean, sometimes the music that I make now, like I'm not as hard on myself or on other people. Like I'm looking for something other than perfection.
It's funny, because when you were performing earlier, I could tell you had perfect pitch, and I was like, God damn it, she has perfect pitch. Because you did a couple things that I really liked, and I was like, I could tell it annoyed you, but I was like, I really like that.
I try to just let it out now. But when we were little, and my mom would be, we'd be like looking for a new church or whatever, and I'd be like, like crying, like, we can't go back there, the piano's out of tune, or like, we can't go back there, none of those people know how to sing. You should hear a piano in my house. Which now I like a piano that's like a little off. Yeah. I want it to be a little wonky. But no, as a kid, and even now, like, if people can't hear the difference between one or two notes, mm-hmm. if I'm like, here's the harmony part, and they sing it back and they're one note off, but they can't tell, I'm like, let me go cry for a minute because I can't, like, if you're not hearing that, you're wrong on that note. Like, I can't slap you in the face.
Wouldn't you go for it? I mean, if you're the artist and you're hiring them to go on tour, like, you can slap them in the face.
It's just, but it is crazy how much it, like, makes me upset. And yeah, I'm like, why am I?
I feel like there is a level of things like that, like, that you just kind of can't teach. Like,
yeah.
Certain thing, like, there are people who it's like, okay, sing back this pitch, and right. they just can't do
they
it.
They can't find
and it's
it.
It's like, how do you even teach someone to do
well,
that?
Well, I think you can teach you
know?
It.
Or there's people who, like, can't clap on beat
right.
with a song.
On time.
And it's like, how do you even teach? There is, like, a certain level of, like, music inability where it's
yeah.
like...
Yeah, you're either born with it or...
I think it's a lost cause. Well,
Brian and I have talked See, about this agree. Before. I think that with a lot of that stuff... The best kind of approach you can take if you want to learn music, a lot of times people want to just sit down and be like, okay, I want to learn how to drum, or I want to play guitar. Let me take a guitar lesson or take a drum lesson.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing to do, and we've talked about this previously, is to just fuck around and find out.
Right.
Just do it 100%. Yourself for a while.
Yeah.
And then once you start to accumulate that, you start to accumulate some level of skill in that thing, no matter yeah. how small it is, then you can go to a guitar lesson or a drum lesson and kind right. of, you know, where the edges are.
Yeah.
And then you can, cause
but
otherwise,
even that, like, finding out where the edges are for yourself, if you think about either, like, maybe a kid who's like 10 to 12, that looks one way. But then if you think about an adult, it's like,
yeah.
To me, getting familiar with an instrument is teaching the whole thing to myself.
Yeah.
But then if somebody comes in, like, with no music background or experience,
yeah.
and they can't pick out a tune, like, how...
The way that I always think about it, and this is probably oversimplifying, but so whenever I teach, because I teach a lot, and
yeah.
to me, when I'm expressing music to people, I think learning music is very similar to learning language, which is why I think it's,
yeah.
very, it's much, much easier
it's
for
like,
kids to learn than adults.
Do you speak other languages?
No. But
we should all learn another language. That'll be the next podcast.
Perfect. We'll be speaking in French, smoke.
Yes. I've been
in here.
But
yeah. I'm trying to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
There you go.
How's it going?
I can impress
Ask
her.
Ask her. Yeah.
There you go.
Not well.
It's going well.
I know a lot of words.
Yeah, but the structure.
It's putting the sentence together yeah. and having the proper grammar that is mm-hmm. hard for me.
For a while, I came
know
in
tons
here
of words.
And they had little yeah. phrases on the fridge. That stopped a while ago. That oh. isn't happening anymore.
I think she's starting to give up on me.
Aww.
I used to like the months, the weeks, like the days.
Yeah. Yep, but no, not anymore.
One so, day I'll step it up and
hey, Duolingo
works.
Yeah, it does work.
Yeah, no, I get on there every once in a while.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just think I want to go like live where you have no option other than to speak Spanish.
That's yeah. the way to do it. Yeah,
that's what you need to do is just refuse to speak to me in English.
Just get.
I'll figure it out soon enough.
I try to just keep practice, but
yeah.
when
yeah.
hear all the English, that's how I learn English.
Okay.
Watching movies, that works a lot.
Okay. Movies and songs.
Yeah,
cool.
And songs that practice.
Yeah.
Practice and movies to just
sometimes I'll watch, like, movies in Spanish with, like...
A movie you know, or...
No, just, like
subtitles.
We'll just, like, watch movies and... If we watch one in Spanish and being able to hear the Spanish with the English subtitles.
Cool.
Yeah. That does help a lot. Like, just watch movies that are made in Spain or Latin America and, like,
yeah.
being able to hear it and then also read the subtitles mm-hmm. of what it all means. Like, then
Your
you,
brain's
st-
like,
then
I
you
got
start
it.
To,
yeah.
like, put a lot of
together.
Shit together.
Yeah.
I find that really helps for sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. And with subtitles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They saw like I didn't understand what is apologize means in that time, and I said apologize. Oh, and then like I was like, oh, I got it. And then I
right.
We need to get Alexa her own mic. We keep
yeah, I know.
We keep fucking talking about it.
We
just need someone like
we
a button.
Get you one.
I ran out of money, dude.
Yeah, we all did. We all did.
Okay.
There you go. Just scream. Exactly.
Just scream a little.
Yeah.
Just a little.
No, but what I was saying with the with the teaching thing is, and this is again, just because I'm crazy and I always have to break things down to nuts and bolts because I'm an idiot. But I always tell people music is only two things. It's pitch and it's rhythm. You just heard me pop that P so hard, Brian.
I know, dude.
It's pitch and it's rhythm, right?
Yeah.
And so anything musically that you can digest, you can always break it down to those two things. So whenever you pick up an instrument, if you can figure out those two components on that instrument, you're in the ballpark. Right. And there's obviously the skill of being able to, there's the actual technical skill of being able to mechanically do what you need to do on the instrument. But if you can break it down to those core components, you're halfway there. And I think it's just even understanding that kind of basic entry is huge for people, because music can seem so ethereal and seem so abstract. Mm-hmm. When you can break it down into those basic kind of core components, that goes a long way.
Well, and it's, I mean, once you get some technical skill, then it becomes feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Exactly.
Because then if you have your technical skill, but you don't have the feeling, then it's like,
oh, I'd rather listen to feeling all day long.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the whole point of technical skill, is being able to just make it to where the actual movements you have to execute are completely like second nature. You don't even have to think about them.
And then
that just like leaves it purely to the feeling. Because if you do have to think about your technical skill, that's going to block.
It blocks what's in your head that's trying to come. Yeah.
What instrument did you start on?
I started on cello.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was when I was 3 years old. I'd go to lessons with my mom.
How many instruments do you play?
Now, like
all of
seven
them.
Or eight.
Damn.
I don't play drums. I do feel like I want to learn eventually, just because like my granddad, two granddads were drummers. And none of my siblings are drummers, but I don't really want to be a drummer on a gig. Don't want to load in and load out.
Yeah. That might be the wisest thing anyone says on this episode.
Like if I'm already playing like five instruments on a gig, you know, and if there's no tech, then you're already bringing in as much as a drummer. I'm like, that's plenty. But no, I mean, yeah, I started on cello and then piano. And then once I was 11, I started playing mandolin, and that's because my brothers had started a bluegrass band, and I was like, oh, mandolin's the last instrument. If we get one, I'll learn it so I can be part of this. Mm-hmm. And there was never this part in my mind that was like, maybe I'll be able to learn this. It was like, get one and I'll learn it.
Yeah. That's the way to go with anything.
But that's how, I mean, music has always been that way to me. Like guitar, okay, learn this solo, learn this chord, whatever. But I started getting more into acoustic guitar, at least when I was like 14 and 15, but I didn't play it at shows until, I mean, I didn't really have a guitar gig until like last year.
Oh, wow.
But before that, I had gotten called for this gig where they were like, yeah, we need like whale sounds and mandolin. And I was like, great, you got it. And then it was like, you're the lead electric guitar player. And it was like a really intense, like Christian contemporary gig where it's all like pedals and you have to match it. And I was just like, no. But
that is a
and
nightmare.
I tried, I ended up calling the MD and I was like, dog, like I do not think it. He was like, you can learn the parts. I'll help you figure out everything else. And he literally saved my ass. And like him and his friend built me every little like snapshot in the Helix.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So that I could just switch.
That's nice.
But it wasn't just the guitar parts. It was like 16 songs. And I had 14 switches and five different instruments.
Ooh.
And no tech. And I pulled it off. And like most people didn't realize that I didn't know what the hell I
there
was
you go.
Doing.
Fake it till you make
it. But I was so scared. And there was this girl that I'm friends with now. She was on the gig and she's like, oh, dude, you're fine. Like nobody's even going to tell. They don't know that you're scared. And I was like shaking. I was like, I think I'm just not going to show up to rehearsal. And the MD was like, we will never call you again if you don't show up. And I was like, I'll show up. It was so scary. Like when I think back on that, even now, I'm just like, I cannot believe I did that. It was,
but that's got to feel good to be on the other side of anything like that and feel like, no, I conquered that.
I
got there. Well, even if you don't feel totally confident with how you did it, the fact that you did it, that goes a long way.
I did show up. I was like, I would rather show up and like fall flat on my face and people know that I had the guts to be like, I'm going to do my best to pull through. Mm-hmm. And it ended up working out. But I did not take another electric guitar gig for at least a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
It scarred you just enough. Well, I also, you know, you have like, I like to think of there's musicians and then you have like techie people, like techie musicians.
Yeah.
Or nerds.
Yeah.
Where like some guitar players know every pedal since, you know, God created the earth. But like, I don't. Yeah. I'm like, I like this guitar that I found for $100 in Santa Cruz. I'm going to play it on this podcast.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
But like, because I like the way it makes me feel.
Yeah.
I'm not a, like, I don't really care about your label or like your brands. Mm-hmm. I just want to feel something good.
And that stuff can get so, you can get lost in that so easily. Like last night I was looking at on YouTube at some random video of someone recording all these different Marshall amps.
Yeah.
Just various models. And I'm like, don't get me wrong. There's certain tech things that I can be interested in here and there. Just not the kind of musician I am, but like I can get into it occasionally. And then you get lost in the minutiae of the stuff, and you're like, it doesn't make a difference. They all sound the fucking same.
It doesn't matter. Just
play the right thing.
We went into this whole thing when Timbo was on here last week.
Yeah.
Like, the gear rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's never ending.
You never get to the bottom of it.
Like, you're not going to get paid more for the show. Mm-hmm. If you show up your $15,000 guitar or your $300 guitar, it's like you're still, if you're able to pull it off, mm-hmm. make it sound good, make everybody happy with that, then like it's just, it becomes this line where it, for you, like if you're mm-hmm. happy with that instrument or if you're happy showing up
and
with
like
that.
The best players in the world will make a $300 guitar sound way better than an average guy with a $2,000 guitar.
Yeah. But just play.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
Totally.
Again, wise words.
I try to
thanks.
Have that. I try to have that type of mindset more and more as I get older because, like, it just never goes anywhere.
Sure.
The more you go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. And again, like, there's fun elements of that, but you don't want to get lost into it. Yeah. Yeah. But now when you write, what do you tend to write on?
Right now, it's this little tiny guitar.
There you go.
And occasionally, if I have access to a piano, I do write a lot on piano. Mm-hmm. But piano has mostly always been my instrument. Mm-hmm. I haven't really played it for other people. I haven't really played it in front of other people. But it's still something that, like, if I'm feeling emotionally stressed out, I really feel like I can go play it out on piano. And so I'll write there or on guitar. But I don't really write on mandolin, even though it's, like, what I'm technically the best at, like most proficient.
I was gonna ask you that because I love mandolin. I think mandolin is a beautiful instrument, but it doesn't for me. I tend to write on piano myself.
Yeah,
it's occasionally I'll write something on guitar, but for mm-hmm. the most part I write on piano. I feel like mandolin doesn't lend itself to writing in the same way other instruments do.
Yeah,
which it sounds kind of silly, but I just
feel like it's a sprinkle instrument
exactly.
to me. Like it's you have to have the meat.
Yeah, that's a very
and it's just
that's a
little
a good
seasoning.
Way to phrase it. Yeah.
So if you're lucky, you know, you get to have fiddle, mandolin, dobro, banjo, whatever, but you have to have your core like bass, percussion, and guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least I like to have that. And then piano to me is like very percussive or can be. But yeah, I like to be able to have the whole feeling of the band. Mm-hmm. But what's been crazy, I'm gonna pivot. I'm gonna talk about my new music.
Go for it.
But what's been crazy about like this stuff has been when I'm writing, I'm not really just hearing like the guitar part I'm playing or what I'm singing or what I'm talking about. It's like I'm hearing the whole band the entire time. And what I've found out with live singing, if I've been working on my songs or like playing them live for people, if somebody starts playing something different than we rehearsed or messing up somewhere, my words get stuck in my brain because she's like, the band is messing up.
Interesting.
I get so distracted that
that's
I'm like,
so interesting.
I can't have these words come out. So I have to like zero back in on this, like, no, like, I'm doing my part. I'm singing my words. I'm playing this instrument. That's all I can do.
That's fascinating.
Because the whole band is happening in my head and I can't turn it off.
They're almost like layered on top of each other.
Yes. So then with recording live, which this new project that I'm working on is called Mare in the Morning. And it's like the cutest little morning songs. I love mornings. I'm very passionate about breakfast.
Best meal of the day. It's not even close, guys. Yeah, it's not.
I know.
As someone who doesn't eat breakfast
like,
anymore, it's
wait,
the best
what?
Meal of the day.
What's
I just don't really
your
eat breakfast.
Breakfast?
I'm sorry. Why don't you eat breakfast anymore?
I tend, now I'm down to eating one meal a day, just generally.
Do you hate yourself?
That's wild.
No, it's just a lot of it's just scheduling with work and stuff.
So you hate yourself?
Okay, whatever. I thought this podcast was going so well.
I agree that three is too many. I usually do two, but.
Okay.
One is kind of crazy.
Listen, like, I'm like a hobbit.
That's the way to live.
Breakfast, second breakfast, 11sies, and lunch.
Luncheon, yeah. Afternoon tea.
But see, like, when I eat, I like to just go hard. So, yeah. Like, usually it's, like, light throughout the day, and then dinner, I just
really
go right. full
Here, gluttony. Here's why. I'll give you, if you actually care about this, I'll tell you, but okay. No one actually cares about this, so we're going to cut this whole thing. So I started working at this new school at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
I'm always just really anal about what I eat, like,
just
for whatever, just for health reasons and stuff.
Yeah, you know, and your complexion.
Yeah, exactly. and they have a cafeteria there, and okay. I was like, the first like however many months, I was having to meal prep the whole week and bring stuff in to eat. Yeah. And then at a certain point, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat for 1 month. I'm going to eat the cafeteria for lunch every day.
Whoa.
And just see how much money I save, because then I don't have to worry about bringing and making all this
and
food
see
every
how
day.
You feel.
Exactly. Yeah. See how I feel. And by the end of it, I was like counting down the hours. I was like, I can't do this. I feel like shit. And I was saving money. That was the big thing. I was like,
yeah,
okay.
But you were losing yourself.
I was losing myself. Ugh. And so I realized, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to eat one meal a day.
Okay.
So now I just don't eat until I come home and make dinner. But then after that, like, I'll eat till I go to sleep, essentially. But I only will have one full meal.
Okay, well, that's crazy. I'm very passionate about breakfast. I think it's the most important meal of the day. It ought to be your biggest meal of the day.
What you're saying now is fuck Casey.
Okay, well, you need to look up Weston A. Price, okay?
Okay, Jesus.
But no, so breakfast to me right now, I'm kind of obsessed with Turkish eggs, which is like,
what is that? I don't
it's like
know.
A savory yogurt dish with poached eggs, but you have your little Greek yogurt, you know, and you put that in there, and then you make this like little sauce, and it's butter, garlic, chili oil, chili powder, like bunch of things, red pepper flakes.
Man, I'm hungry now.
Yeah. And so you melt all that together, and then you have your little fresh dill, and you put all of that on top of the yogurt. You have your poached eggs, and then you toast some sourdough, but you don't toast it in the toaster and then try to put butter on it. No, you have to put your butter in the pan. You got to toast, pan toast it, because life is short. Pan toast your butter.
And we're not heathens here, so.
Toast. Pan toast your toast, yes. Yes, no, we are believers in good toast. So, yeah, Turkish eggs. And then other than that, I mean, I'm an egg and bacon girl.
Yeah, that's
but I love a carb.
That's the right answer right there.
And, yeah, I like everything. Don't give me that kale salad for breakfast.
Okay,
absolutely
fine.
Not.
I've been a big,
breakfast is the best.
Steak in the morning type of guy.
Yeah.
Do chicken fried
steak.
Steak
and eggs with a thrown avocado in there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need. And that gets you going
that's my
good.
Favorite
and then if
breakfast
you have,
right there.
Yeah.
All right, what we're learning is after this, we need to go buy a pack of cigarettes. We need to go to a diner. And we
Waffle House, honestly, I fuck with Waffle House.
This is the deal, okay? I love Nashville. Yeah. Well, yeah, I enjoy Nashville enough to still
do
live
you?
Here. Okay, but...
Moving on.
Fuck, maybe I'm moving to California, too.
Let's go.
But we don't have, like, any 24-hour diners. Other than Waffle House,
there's
one downtown, which the name is escaping me. We don't have any diners in town, really.
Well, I feel like, in general, Nashville is lacking 24-hour food places.
Very much so. For how big, like, for how much is going on, how many shows get out at, what, midnight? And it's like, go to Dino's.
You got Dino's or you got Cookout or Duke's,
Cookout,
That's basically
Duke sandwiches, though,
they slap. Slap.
They're 217.
So
yes, there we go. See, I knew we got along for a reason. That 217 is the bomb.
Get a little extra toasty.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one will make me dance, for sure. Yeah. Shout out to Dukes.
Alexa, could you grab me another one of these?
Yeah,
thank you so
one?
Much. She wants
I'm
one?
Good. Thank okay. you. This is so fun. I'm having a great time.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, anytime. I feel like Dukes is my, like, whenever anyone's in town visiting, Dukes is the place I take them to. Just because that, I'm like, you can't leave without experiencing this sandwich.
No, it's such a good one. That or the Italian.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Dukes, sometimes it's just a little too loud in there.
I always go like 2 in the afternoon, though. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I don't think I've been there.
It's few and far between that I'll go when it's dark outside.
Okay.
At least.
Well, now it's dark at 2, so.
That is true. We're at that time of the year. It's so sad. I teach down south about an hour.
Okay.
And well, it's about 35 minutes like commute down, but coming up for rush hour, man. It's like an hour and a half. It's brutal. And I'll get in my car and I see the sun start going down. I'm like, it's like, not even 4 o'clock in the afternoon right now.
I've been inside all day.
Exactly.
No. Yeah. And it's so tragic.
It is. It really is.
They need to just get rid of daily savings time.
Like, I know.
It's so silly. Just
I know.
Get rid of it.
Let's start a revolution.
I know that I keep hearing that they're going to, but then
I know they say that every year.
Yeah.
And I think it's just to mess with us.
I guess.
To make us keep living here.
Trying to troll us.
It could be. They're just trying to keep us in check, you know? They don't, yeah.
They don't care.
If they get too much sunlight, they're going to revolt. Yeah.
Dude, for real.
There you go.
I will say, though, when I am in California getting a lot of sunshine, not only am I like, that fills me up. Like, I'm not as hungry, for one, but then I'm so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the sunshine. And then whenever, even coming back here, I had to, like, mentally prep. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, wow, why do I just want to take a nap every day?
Why am I just sad?
It is the best. I do love
it. Yeah, there's perfect weather year-round, but you don't appreciate it as much when you get it year-round. Like, when you experience the full scope of seasons.
Maybe you don't.
When you experience the full scope of seasons, like, a nice day is so much nicer because you've had, like, a week of shitty weather or whatever. You know what I mean?
But how long did you live there? Like, your whole life until you went to college?
Yeah, like, 17 years.
Okay, well, I've been 27 years of seasons.
Okay.
I think I deserve like, I want a little sunshine. Bit,
yeah. Fair enough, yeah. I
please
guess.
Let me get bored of the same day over and over.
At this point, I feel like I have the perfect relationship to it, which is I'll go out. I usually go out to Cali probably twice a year.
Okay.
And it's great. I get to go check in, have that time.
Your family's still out there?
Yeah.
So do they want an extra kid?
There you go. Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, they're
down.
I'm looking for options.
they're close by LA. You'll be good. Yeah, so my parents are both out there. They're in Carlsbad, so near like San Diego area.
Yeah.
It's
so
kind of like between San Diego and LA. And then one of my brothers is in LA, and the other one was in Santa Barbara. He just moved.
Oh, so. I thought, what?
Oh, just moved to Santa Barbara. Sorry.
Oh, okay. You're like, so, he just left. I'm like, no.
No, still in Cali. And then my sister's out here, so.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, it's definitely, I like who I am in my head out there. Mm-hmm. And then coming back here, it's like, I just definitely feel like the season changing for me, where it's like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But 10 Nashville winters is, I think,
that's,
you know,
enough.
I think that's enough for now.
Yeah. Nashville's got pretty mild winters.
Yeah, they do.
Mild,
I was going to say, like, not to like give a shit.
I kind of like when it's a little colder.
I'd rather it be a little snowy, though, or something like
yes.
that.
Really? I do. Yeah. I like the snow. I like the snow.
If you have a little snow and then it goes away, you know. But no, here it's just like sleet rain for 6 months, and it's all in February.
When we moved to Boston, I grew up really all over the place as a kid, got out to California, was out there for like high school age. Mm-hmm. When we moved out to Boston, our first winter in Boston was the worst winter they'd had in 57 years.
In terms of snowfall.
Wow.
It was
wild.
As someone who hadn't been in the snow in a while and missed it, it was like looking forward to it.
Well, yeah.
I was like,
from California.
They plowed the sidewalks. And it was like 5+ feet of snow that just sat there for months.
You'd walk through the city and like they'd pile up all the snow on the sidewalks, and it was everywhere you walked, you were walking through like trenches.
Yeah, and then that beautiful, snow over like, you know, weeks and months just turned
just
into mounds of black. It was like you were walking through trenches, and it was wild.
Yeah,
that's
it was
not.
Crazy.
I
it was like welcome back to the snow.
And I think it didn't melt till like September of the next year after that, like, because they'd move it all to like a big area, and it just stayed.
That's awful. I could not. No, not for me.
Yeah, Boston's a fun town, though. It is a fun town.
Yeah, the winters were a little too much. Like, after living there for 4 years, like, the winters here seem like nothing.
Yeah,
it's a nice, good transition.
If you like to be depressed, Nashville's a great spot for winter.
It's not that bad.
Man, at the end of this, I'm gonna be like calling my parents, like, do you guys need like a roommate?
No, Take me out.
You're going to be convincing me at the end of this to leave.
If anyone is listening to this podcast and you have a back house in
there you
California.
Go. There you go.
Help.
Wait, so I'm curious. So the last little while, you've been, you kind of pivoted to your material, to being really being like an artist first kind of musician. What was the catalyst for that? Why did you decide to make that change? Like why to go from being more of a side woman? I mean, you've always been making your own stuff, but like to go from that being the focal point of what you're doing to being an artist first personality. Why that?
Why that? Well, I'd find myself like singing, learning and singing other people's songs and just having this like huge part of me that felt unfulfilled and like unexpressed. And I would just start to feel like super depressed. And part of it was I would meet musicians that were like, I'm a side musician. Like I love playing for other artists. And I was like, man, I don't resonate with that. And like, why can't I get on board with that? Like just being happy, like propping up somebody else's dream. And like, that's the whole gig. Mm-hmm. And I am really good at it. I can be really good at it if that's what I want to do. but like, I think I've always known that like, I am a writer. I do have things to say. I do have these stories that like have kind of been screaming to be told. And every time that I take on a gig that's like side work, it's one thing. I mean, if you're a musician and you work for other people, like that is your job. And so to pivot too hard, which like I did some stuff last winter where I was like, let's fully go artist. Let's like play my shows, do everything. And it ended up kind of like biting me in the ass because I wasn't prepared for winter. I said no to a lot of great work because I was like, if I say yes to this, I'll have to cancel, you know, the few shows that I got together for myself. But just realizing like, I've got to sing my songs, even if they're not perfect. And even if nobody's listening almost, it's like, no, I have to sing them because they're inside. They're wanting to be sung. And it's interesting, the more I've sang songs just like however they come out or like imperfect or not, or like whether I'm ready for them or not, people are connecting to that more, just the real song, the real story. And if I share something online, like recently I talked about like it was 5 years since I got divorced and like people really connected with that and like they like to see that somebody else isn't just a perfect, happy, shining person. And like, I am a bubbly person a lot of the time. I love making people laugh. I love doing something funny. Like, I love going with something just to see, like, is this going to turn out fun? But pivoting to my own artist thing, I realized, like, no one is going to come asking for me to do this. Like, no one's going to be like, hey, sing your songs now, or here's the money or every support that you need in order to make this make sense. It's just I have to believe in myself enough to think that it's worth going for. And the other thing was like I'm not the best musician or writer or singer or whatever, but like neither is anyone else really. It's just they're doing it, they're going for it, and they're continuing to show up. I was like, okay, I deserve to give that to myself. So whether anybody else is watching or listening, like I get to say my songs and my story and who I am now is worth showing up for like that and kind of turn that focus from showing up like that for somebody else's dream into myself to where like, sure, why not? Like, why not go for it? And also in last month in October, I did feel like I was already on my way to like being brave enough to really share my stories and songs. And you know, some of it's kind of dark, but this stuff that I'm working on right now is like definitely exciting and cute and a happy morning. Like I do want to set the stage with that. Like this is at the core of me, who I am. But in October last month, I was on the road. It was just my friend and I in her car. And we were in a wreck where like her car was totaled. She was driving and there was two semis, and like everybody that kind of showed up to the crash and talked about it later was like, this normally doesn't end where both people walk away. And like, I saw the semi coming up in my rear view mirror as I was trying to like calmly talk her through like, all right, you're going to slow down and pull over. And just like, I was really shook up from that, but seeing the semi in my rear view, like had we been 1 foot over, I wouldn't be here at all. And having that happen and then like going on to like continue the tour, see it through, even though like it did get pretty difficult. Just like, okay, I'm going to at least see this through. But I ended up taking off like a day being like, hey, like we can figure out how to make this show happen for you solo, but like I got to take a day. And while I took a day, I stayed in Malibu on the ocean and ended up meeting the engineer that I'm working with now for this album, and just had like the most magical 48 hours there. And it really felt like when I was at the end of my rope, like I cannot go one step further. I have to rest. I have to freak out for a minute. That so many amazing things just fell into my lap, and I had the courage to say yes and step into them. And so I went and recorded like 4 new songs. And I'll be recording the rest of them in January, but like having the guts, I guess, to feel like I was already on my way to saying yes to the artist thing, but having the guts to be like, okay, we gotta do full send, mm-hmm. because I was almost not here. And we don't even count on that. Like we're like, oh yeah, I'll make these plans for tomorrow. And it's like, yeah, well, nobody really knows if that's going to happen. But what was even also crazier is like in the last 6 weeks, like before that crash, and after this crash, in my car, I've had a fender bender, and then somebody like ran into me on the highway, just bumped into me. Like, and
I think that just means you shouldn't be driving.
None of them have been my fault, but every single one has been on my right side. And you know, so I'm like, wow, texting my friends. I'm like, what is going on?
That's a song title right there, on my right side.
On my right side, yeah. But you know, some of my friends are like, oh, that's your masculine energy side. And I'm like, am I being too much of a boss? Like, do I need to be more of a boss? You know, people are like, oh, just slow down, take it easy. And I'm like, I am definitely in the phase where I'm like, I have to bust ass more now than ever. Mm-hmm. So what do you mean? Like, if the universe is like, yo, bitch, gonna take you out. Not quite, just to scare you. And I'm like, or maybe, you know, I had a moment where I was like, is something trying to get me? Like, does someone hate me and they're sending me bad energy? And then I was like, nah, man, like, I got so much reason to be here. I also love to walk around like I've got angels all over that are like, my girl's coming through. So I do feel very protected and also grateful to be here. But it took a minute to feel grateful too after that crash, which was like really strange, just to be like, well, why the fuck did I live? Instead of like, I lived, yay.
Yeah, I gotta imagine that's gotta be a very
very sobering
type of experience that makes you rethink a lot of things.
Everything. You're like, why am I even hanging out with this person? Like, I'm not having fun here, which I am having fun here.
That's good. Well,
that's why I'm still here. Hanging out. Yeah. We're gonna go smoke some cigarettes.
You can't say you're chained to this desk under. They can't see, but like you can't escape right now. Every guest, it's like they're here definitely against their will.
She got it.
Does. At that point, do you feel like that, and that wasn't that long ago,
no,
do you feel like that affected the relationship you have to writing, or do you feel more like, no, that just means I need to stay the course, what I'm doing is what I should be doing?
The writing, it's just be as honest as you can, like what's in your heart, say it as straight on as you can, and like no apologies. Like, this is my experience here. I'm going to tell the truth about it. And, like, obviously some things you don't talk to everyone about. But even as a songwriter, like, I do feel like we have a license to get away with saying things that you almost aren't, I don't know. It's like people give you a little more space because they're like, oh, you're a songwriter. Like, we all know you're batshit crazy. Which I'm fine if people think that about me. I kind of think that about me.
They know that about me. So
yeah, that's fine. I know that about me. So if they do too, that's fine.
Keeps everyone on the same page.
Yeah.
So you feel like it has, it's given you maybe a little more license to be direct and say things that you otherwise don't know if you would have the courage to say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely given me more guts. And the realization that, like, whether you go out early in a car crash or not, everyone that you know right now that has opinions about you and thoughts about you that you think about, none of us are going to be here in 100 years. So if you're letting what other people or your family or like the way you grew up dictate how you live the things that you're passionate about now, it's like none of those people are going to care. We're all going to be dead.
Yeah.
So, none of that shit matters.
Yeah.
No. So it's like, go live, go take chances, go like crash somebody's party. Not the word crash, you know. I am hyper aware of that word now. I'm like, oh yeah, you can crash at my place. And I'm like, ooh. Nope. You can safely land at my place. Yeah. But yeah, I do feel like I'm allowed
Who are songwriters that you feel like do that best? Songwriters that you are in awe of their bravery of what they say.
Ooh. I mean, I think one of my favorites is Roger Miller, just the way that he would put things.
I adore Roger Miller, I think, is one of the greatest songwriters of all time. Again, we're going to take a detour.
Great.
Several years ago, I was in my living room at like 4 a.m. and I got just balls out of my mind high. And I had Roger Miller's greatest hits on, the green one with him sitting out the front. And it was like, it was an unbelievable experience. Because I adore Roger Miller.
Yeah.
But I was sitting there and I thought, oh my God, he is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like to a degree that it makes me angry that people don't recognize how good he is. Everything about his songwriting is just unbelievable.
And the delivery.
Yes. Like, one of my favorite voices in the world. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah.
But it wasn't always about like playing the perfect guitar or the perfect voice or whatever, but the way that he would string the words together. And like, I don't think something always has to rhyme or be the most witty depending on how it's sung.
It has to sound right. And,
it has to feel.
This is something that I think is so hard to articulate when you're talking about songwriting, but it doesn't, you can break anything down to nuts and bolts. You can see that, look at the rhyme scheme. You can look at you can look at the diction. You can look at all of those different things, word count. But at the end of the day, all of that, as important as it is to have those things in your head, it's all about if it sounds right.
Yeah.
And with him, it always sounds right. It kills me because like that's so hard to pull off to make every line feel like there's nothing else you can put here.
Right.
And that is, I mean, I can think of no better compliment to any great artist than to say, I can't substitute anything. Like those words, that melody, everything is perfect right there.
Yeah.
All right. Roger Miller. Who else?
Roger Miller. Writers. All the Millers, like Buddy and Julie Miller.
Okay.
They've got some really special songs. I'm trying to think of the one. Julie Miller has this song called Broken Things.
Okay.
You can have my heart if you don't mind broken things. And it's like a very religious song, which like I've had this kind of relationship with, you know, all things God or religion. Like, I don't know. I think we can find God or love in anywhere, depending on how you choose to look at it. But like, I grew up like very religious and Christian, and like, I wouldn't say like I'm a Christian anymore. But I do still, I don't know. I believe in beauty and love and like, but, man, I almost sang this one song called I Found God in the Bottom of the Canyon because I was just in California and like, but it's like, it goes on to say like, I found God in all of these ways that are like not the perfect church message or like the perfect family or whatever, but just, I don't know. Maybe I should sing that one.
There you go.
Backpedal.
Do you still feel like even though you've had those ups and downs with your relationship with it, where are you at with it currently? Do you feel kind of at peace with it, or you still feel like you're still searching for that?
I actually feel so at peace that I keep writing down in all of my journals and like saying out loud, I still have things I want to do. I'm still busy. I have a lot that I'm trying to accomplish, because I know people that have said like, I just feel fully at peace, and like they go out right after that, and I'm like, I'm not ready. I got shit to do.
Still more to do.
I got all these songs. I got all these poems. I got all these feathers to ruffle. You know, I feel like there's a lot left.
That's beautiful.
But I do feel very, very held and comforted. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, oh yeah, this Bible verse or like this church service. It's just more like this, this peace. And it's not, you know, it's not like big God up in the sky in the Old Testament that was like cutting down entire groups of people. It's like, I don't believe in that anymore. But I do believe in love and like that being the thing that holds everything together and makes any of this worth it.
Yeah, I find people, anyone who has true belief in anything, they have to find their own way there. Whatever that is, it's not something that you can necessarily, true belief is not something you can be indoctrinated in or simply passed to you like a baton. It's got to be something that you get to
that
naturally
you
and that you find. Yeah. So I'm always just curious where people get to with those things themselves. Because it's a journey like anything else.
Yeah.
But
yeah, partially you find it and it finds you, but like I don't know how to put that into words really.
Since you have pivoted to the artist forward stuff, are there any shows that you feel like you've done that you're really proud of? Are there any that stick out to you that you think, God, that was fun? Or like that was fulfilling. That was what I wanted it to be.
Yeah. I feel like I'm still finding my vibe live. 'Cause there's like, when you're playing for another artist, it's like, okay, you are in such a support role and stepping into this, like, no, I'm the shit. You showed up here for me. Like, that's just such a different personality to put on. I don't feel like the stuff I've done live yet is like what I've wanted to bring. But it's also because touring as we know it in like old dive bars or like late at night shows, I'm not passionate about that. I would love to do shows like rent out a coffee shop for 2 or 3 hours, set up cute plants, play shows in the morning. Where
Alexa's
like
Alexa's gonna have her own coffee shop one day. You'll be the first person we hit up.
Hey, I'm so there. But like all of this, the whole idea is like people are already going to brunch with a friend. I support this 1,000%. I love having like soft, sweet music in a coffee shop. Like the music is so part of the vibe. And also think about all of the girlies that love to journal and write, and we have like cute little notebooks, or we want a watercolor. It's like you could go to a Mare in the Morning show at a coffee shop and you can either bring a friend and engage like that, or you can go by yourself and just do the things that fill you up. But I want an experience for people, because I want to make an event that I want to go to. And right now, playing, you know, these old ass stinky bars with like what I think is beautiful music, it's like that's not the right place for it.
Yeah, there's not enough like daytime morning music out there.
Yeah,
like it's
and
weird
you think
how
there would
like
be in Nashville,
right? The majority of like live music is like a late night type of thing.
Yeah, which makes sense for like 9-to-5 jobs.
And there is a certain vibe.
Makes sense for Roger Miller, but maybe not there.
I feel
like he would make sense in the morning too.
Yeah,
I think
that's true.
I feel like the morning vibe is definitely something that could be.
It's kind of untapped.
Capitalized. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because I don't know right now another artist who's like, let's do morning shows. Let's do like rent out the coffee shop and really have this. Like something to enter into, to be communal and also support your hormones. And the other thing, touring for women, like I know it's hard on dudes, but like you guys aren't out there pretending that you're not bleeding or
it's
cramping.
True, yeah. Absolutely.
And like we all are. And to me, like, that's some of the most depressed I've ever felt, when it's like, I can't have something, like, if you're on a bus and, like, you show up at noon or what, like, you haven't really gone to the bathroom, like, you haven't had breakfast, you, all of these things that, like, you need as a woman to kind of keep your hormones stable, like, touring doesn't allow for that. And I've been touring since I was 12, so that's, like, my whole adult life as a woman. And so when I think of morning shows, it's like, I'm thinking of my health. I'm thinking of other women's health. I'm thinking of our happiness and, like, what supports that best, which is being nourished. And also, like, the super late night shows with the really bright lights, like, dog, that's ruining you. Like, you got to go to bed with the sun, like, supports your hormones,
and
everything.
That, I mean, and the fact that also that you have played those big shows and that you have been on those stages, that means something, that you can be on the other side of that and recognize, hey, that maybe isn't the way that I want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that, I think that says a lot about you as a person. That's not just like, oh, this isn't for me. It's like, no, I've done these things. I've been on those stages. I've played those shows, and I recognize that this is not what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
It's one thing to just say that sort of flippantly. It's another thing to go through that experience and to be dangled that carrot and say, that's not for me.
But imagine, like, I say if, but also, like, when I'm able to do this, like, kind of make this move, this pivot, how many other women are going to be like, wait, she did that, so can I? Because my doing it gives other people permission to, like, go for that dream too. Totally. And for a while I was like, do I even want to do music? Because I thought the only way to do it would have to be make the kind of music that people are going to want to drink to, that people are going to want to party to. And it's like, I'm not passionate about selling alcohol or people doing drugs to my music. It's like, I mean, yeah, if you want to wake up in the morning and get a little roasted, like, let's go. But
that's for when you move to California, dude. Out here, we don't do any of that shit. What are you talking about?
No. Zero. Yeah, but to me, like, the dream show, imagine these little dreamy songs with a bunch of plants, little disco balls. Imagine a sunrise show at Red Rocks. Has anyone even done that?
I'm here for all of this stuff.
Okay, but, like, imagine getting there. You have your warm drink. Like, someone made something, hot chocolate, coffee, tea. Mm-hmm. You can bring your little snacks. Maybe there's, like, breakfast food trucks, okay?
I love it.
Right?
This is changing my whole world right now.
This is entirely untapped.
This is. The breakfast show world. That is blowing my mind right now.
Okay, so I get to travel with my little food truck guy and my coffee cart girl.
Perfect.
And me, and, you know, maybe a small band, but it's like that environment. It's like, sorry to the lighting people. We're going to still need you, but just, like, a little bit less dramatic. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, plants, disco balls, fun little vibey, like, neon light things, but more focus on, like, getting your morning sunlight, having a restful event. And, like, eventually, I mean, depending on the music that I put out, if there was demand for some of those later night shows. But, like, even that, it's like, let's go play a festival at, like, sunset and be done with it. Like, I don't really want the 3 months of, like, just bust ass and, like, ruin your adrenals.
Those, looking back on those big tours that you have done and the time that you have spent, are there ones that stick out as ones that were fun or ones that were not fun? But, like, what are the ones that stick out for you?
See, that's... Someone asked me the other day, they were like, yeah, but, like, aren't you out here for the music too? And I was at a loss for words. I was like, I'm out here because it's my job. And I think being able to be honest about that. And it's like, yeah, sometimes there has been beautiful shows. Like, I got to be... I got called this last summer to help build, like, the tracks and make the show for this artist, Anna Graves. And it was pretty much her, like, first show with a band, but it was to open for Stevie Nicks.
Oh, wow.
And we had 13 days to pull it together, and we pulled it together. And it wasn't a tour of that, you know, it was just one show. But, like, that was very, I mean, that just felt like Stevie, like, saving my ass, being like, stick with it, follow your dream, you know, like go be your little witchy self, breakfast. But yeah, tours, like there's been some fun with the traveling and the places I've gotten to see and the people that I've gotten to meet, but it's like the environment of it, honestly, it stresses me out so bad that, like, I mean, I like a week. I like maybe a week long thing to go do. And at the same time, like, work is work. And sometimes you just got to say yes to it. But yeah, like, I'm getting ready to go on this tour with Matt Maher, who's a Christian artist. And it's going to be in cathedrals.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That's so really cool. Like just the beauty, the sound, everything. And it's Christmas, like meaningful Christmas music in cathedrals. And I'm stoked on that.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. That sounds really,
but there's
really nice.
A level of like, okay, I got to get my own shit together to where like I'm able to work from home and like provide myself the lifestyle that I want so that when I do say yes to something, it's like, you know, like there's a bus. Yeah. There's like, it's not 3 months of time where it's just like you're on planes on and off.
That's rough.
And when I talk to my friends who are on those gigs, like the biggest gigs right now, like they're, yeah, like of course they're kind of like living it up and a lot of it is fun, but they're like, this is just so, like, so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, it's exhausting for anyone, but I think especially for women, it's like, just change this?
I wanted to ask, what's the short of almost getting run over? Because that's a pretty rock bottom right there. What's the most burnt out you've ever felt on tour? Because we've all felt varying degrees of that, but what's the most you've ever felt like, I don't know if I want to do this?
Oh, man.
Now we're getting deep, guys.
No, I mean, I can't name names or anything, but I did play for an artist for a while, and like, you know, they all ended up wanting to go golf, and I had helped TM and like plan where everyone needed to be at a certain amount of time. You know, like I thought I was going to be arriving to the town in my hotel by like 11 a.m. the next morning. I was going to be able to like have a day, and we'd been on the road for like 3 weeks at that point. And I found out like at 11 p.m. the night before, like, hey, like my buddy has this connection at this golf course that's like an hour and a half away from where we're going. I couldn't really get away from the rig.
Yeah.
And so instead of like having my it was like, yeah, you can go hang out with my buddy and at his house with his wife and all of his kids. And it's like, that's great, that's really sweet, but like I can't do that. I'm exhausted. Like, I really need this day to reset. And like, I'm big on resets, man. Like, When we were growing up, both of my parents were sweet, introverted people. And like, we had rest time. Even if you weren't little and taking a nap anymore, after lunch, you have like 1 to 2 hours of quiet time. So you can read, you can play outside, but like, whatever you do, it's quiet. And it's like, it's siesta. But I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
But then now touring with other people, I'm like, siesta is mandatory.
You need that.
If you can't take a siesta, like you're gonna have to get out of the car.
Also, I think people have to recognize that the output you're getting is going to be better if you allot those people that luxury. Or it's not even luxury,
no one performs
but like
I mean, well when they're burnt out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. But I at that golf course I did end up like taking a different buddy's like big ass truck. And I drove like an hour and a half across California. And I just was like, this is not it. I was like, I have to get to this hotel room and get some pho. Like I need some broth. I need to take a bath.
I need some bone broth, steam.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my move. Like, okay, I need some good broth.
That's a good move.
But yeah, I think after that I was just like, that's when I was like, do I even want to do music? Because other people that I saw that were like happy in those scenarios, I was like, how are you, how?
Well, I think it's a personality thing in a lot of ways. I think some people can be in that environment perpetually and just be really fulfilled and happy. And I think that it's just sort of innate. You're either built for that kind of thing or you're not, and you kind of learn.
Or maybe there's seasons where you do a little less of it. But like,
that's a better way to frame
it. I've been traveling in 15-passenger vans with trailers since I was 12 years old. So that's 15 years now. And like, some of my friends have just started touring like that at, like, out of college. Mm-hmm. So they're maybe 4 or 5 years in and they're like, this is great. And I'm like...
And you're like, I know where this leads. And
sure, it
this,
gets old.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... I'm really happy you're excited about this, but like, it's not the same to me.
Well, that'll be one of the benefits of kind of doing your own thing is you can kind of make it however you want it to be.
Right. But imagine, I mean, some people have floated this idea too, are like, that's not how the industry works. Or they're like, yeah, you're only going to be able to play one or two shows like a month because the weekend thing, or, you know, you can play two shows in a weekend instead of every day, every a new show in a new city. But at the same time, like, brunch is always in and like, imagine you have your brunch show and then you have the whole rest of the day. And then maybe you drive 3 or 4 hours the next day and then the follow, you know, maybe you do way less touring, but it's a lot more meaningful or it's more one-offs or even like making the kind of event where you have 3 different coffee shops across the city where you do like residencies.
See, in my head, it's like perfect world. I'm living in the woods in Idaho with my family. And then like every once in a while, I'll go out, I'll do a quick run of shows and then, I'm back home. Like,
right.
That's
but if
the
I,
dream
it would
right
be
there.
Hard
yeah.
to be perpetually on tour. That'd be rough.
Yeah. Yeah. But even if you are out in the woods with your family and stuff, the kind of event that I would go back into town for would be Mare in the Morning.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. All right.
Like,
well, perfect.
I will go either make this show or attend my friend's show that is like that because you get everything you want. You get the full spread.
There you go.
Breakfast, coffee, a little friend, a little journal time, calming, sweet music, a vibe.
What more could you ask
Beautiful.
For?
I know. It's
Wait, so, so
great
what's,
picture.
What's on the horizon? What do you have coming up?
What I have coming up?
Yes.
Like... for myself.
Sure.
So I am also working on a poetry book and some of it's just written. I don't have a release date on that, but I do want it to come out in the next year with Mare in the Morning.
Okay.
And some of that is going to be like the lyrics on a page, whatever poems are lyrics, they'll have a little note and a little scan to where you can go to the YouTube version.
That's
so you can
so
like
smart.
Listen down while you're reading it.
That's so smart.
And then the rest of it is just in your little book, like your little poetry book. So I'm very passionate about like writing and writing down the life that you want to live. like really believing that and being super specific. So that's part of what this book is too. It's like calling in the life that I want, that I desire, that I'm ready to step into. So yeah, this next year, it's like the Mare in the Morning project. I see starting to do shows either in the spring or in the fall, depending on how that goes. Just with seeing who gives a shit about it.
I have a feeling you'll be able to pull some people, yeah.
But so far, every time I mention this to like a woman, it's just, they're like, yes, please.
As someone who doesn't have a vagina, I think it's a great fucking idea. I'll be there for it.
Yes, thank you.
I kind of like the idea of like getting the show done in the morning and like just then you have the whole day also to you know
you get
do
to
what you have to
think
do
about it right.
Also, when you have the show, it's always the last thing. It's always the last part of your day,
and you're hungover and you're just tired.
Yeah,
and exhausted.
It's looming over the rest of your day.
Yes.
Whereas if you get to check that box in the morning. You can breathe
such
a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
such
I
a
like,
relief.
I like that idea.
I like that idea
a lot.
Yeah, for
there
sure.
we go.
Thank
All right,
you.
I'm, we're,
Two
we're
more
behind
people
this.
That, yes.
You're gonna slowly
I
get
have
all
like
of
at least 100 people now that are super into the idea.
Perfect.
So
perfect.
Like people I've talked to.
Just gotta find some coffee shops to make this happen. Yeah.
I think Thistle Farms Cafe, for one, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you been there?
I have not, no.
You gotta check it out.
All right, Thistle Farms.
Thistle Farms is run by Becca Stevens.
Wait, where is that?
It's over off of Charlotte.
Okay.
One. But she opens like safe houses for women and then helps women out of prison and like get off the streets and gives them jobs and like reintroduces them into society.
Very cool.
Yeah, like
That's
in
amazing.
A dignified way and just it's so beautiful. But yeah, she's helped a lot of women through this like through Thistle Farms and then the cafe there too is like just so pro-woman and like supporting everyone, really.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I would love to do a Mare in the Morning show there.
I'm going to check out Thistle Farms.
Yeah, you got to go check. And you'll be like, this would go over perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. You can hold the vision with me.
Fantastic. I'm really, really glad you did this. This was a ton of fun. This was great.
It was awesome. Yeah.
This was a ball.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course.
Great. I feel like we could go 7 hours.
I know. First podcast?
Yeah.
With you guys, like... Here.
Yeah.
It feels great.
Yeah. Nice. Good.
No, like,
glad to hear.
I welcome the podcast.
There you go.
Yeah,
I love it.
Let's go.
I love it. All right. Well, hell yeah. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
All right.
Wow, that was like 7 hours.
It goes by so fast. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, how long?
Man, oh man. Now I do need that fucking cigarette. Jesus Christ.